right, take your Bible. Turn to Luke chapter 11, if you will. We started this last week. Anybody need a worksheet? Didn't get a worksheet? Great. Lift your hand up. John will bring one around for you. Anybody need a worksheet? Lift your hand up. All right. Luke chapter 11, verse number 1. And appreciate your help with those tables afterwards. It's in the cafeteria all the way to back of the new building there. If you could help us, it won't take long. Really won't. And I think we need to move a piano over there too from the team room. It's right nearby there, real close. And maybe one other thing or two there, but it shouldn't take long at all. Luke chapter 11, verse number 1. It says, "And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, when you pray, say," this is what we're going to say. This is the discourse, if you will. This is the pattern. "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And he said to them, which of you have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. We're all in bed here. I cannot rise and give thee. And I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you," and I don't want to add the word of God, but you could say, and I'm going to say unto you, when you're talking to your father, when you go to your father, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth. To him that knocketh, it shall be opened. If a son," speaking of a father, see now, if he's the father, we're the child. So he's keeping that thought going through, because it started out, "Pray, our Father, which is in heaven." Now, you can go to a friend's house and ask, but we're not just talking about a friend, we're talking about a father. And not just any old father, because even, you know, the Bible talks about disciplining, and sometimes the parents discipline just to get their frustrations out on somebody's backside. But it says God doesn't do that. But he does change whom he loves. But anyway, it says here, "For everyone," verse 10, "everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. If a son," which you all are, he's saying, "shall ask bread of any of you, that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion?" Of course not. "If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him?" Let's pray. And this is kind of part two of a prayerful pursuit. Let's pray. Father, again, we thank you for your blessing. We thank you for teaching us these lessons. His disciples wanted them to teach him to pray. And it's not just the words. It's noticeable that he not only does it, he talks about the intentions, the attitude, and really how to approach it. And really what to expect. And so, Lord, I pray that you'll help us to learn these lessons as well, just as his disciples. May we be learners of your word. So we ask for your Holy Spirit to move and give us what we need here, Lord. Maybe we may just refine our prayer life a little bit, become more effective, but more in our pursuit, greater in our pursuit of you. So we ask it all in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Now, let me go right to number one here, and we'll work our way through the points that I have filled back in for you. Prayer is a natural thing. Have you ever heard about seen an old movie or something about the pilgrims or somebody who lived back in that time, and they'll say, "I pray thee, kind sir, I used to watch one year. Jan and I around Christmas time. We were just married, and we were just married. And I think they must have had 25 different Scrooge shows on. And it was, just one after the other, after the other, after the other. And of course, you know, you have the old English words and so forth. And you heard someone say, "I pray thee, kind sir." Well, what's that mean? I request of you. I beg of you. I ask of you. I pray thee, kind. You're not praying to the kind sir. You're praying, you're asking. And really, prayer is a matter of asking. Now, there's a lot of talking to the Lord, and some of the talking to the Lord is to talk about who He is, just fellowship with Him, talk about how good He's been doing and wonderful things. But part of our talk with the Lord, our supplication, our prayer, if you want to call it prayer, is asking. So number one, we saw the points of prayer. It came to pass that as He was praying in a certain place, when He ceased, one of His disciples said unto Him, "Lord, teach us to pray, to supplicate, to put forth a wish, to express one's will in a matter." And He said, "When ye pray," this is the discourse. This is what you should be saying. This is the pattern that you would go. You wouldn't always pray the same thing. Not vain repetition, but this is the pattern. Letter B, the person. Remember who you're praying to. Our Father. Now, we have earthly fathers, and if there are any, you know, any semblance of what their earthly father should be, they care for us at least a certain extent. In fact, He says here, you know, even an earthly father, if you ask for an egg, you don't give him a scorpion. If you ask for a fish, you don't give him a serpent. You know, I mean, if you got a father that's got some kind of decency, he wouldn't do that. Well, this is our Father who is in heaven. This is God of the universe. This is the one who loves us with an everlasting love. This is our parent, the one who cares for us as His very own, the one who cares for us whose realm is heaven. Everything that's in heaven is at His disposal. So the person is God our Father. Let her see His position. Hallowed be thy name means to venerate, to give proper esteem, honor, respect, to revere. There should be a certain attitude of humility and obedience to the one that we're praying to. He's got a position in our life, and we need to recognize that. But at the same time, He's Daddy. But He's God the Father. He says, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done as in heaven, so in earth." So in other words, we're saying, "Daddy, here's what I'm thinking. What do you want? What should I do here? What should I have? What do I need? Or maybe I'm barking up the wrong tree here, Dad. Maybe I shouldn't even have this at all, but this is what I was thinking." I mean, really, you need to come to the Lord with some humility. I know some people say, "Well, you ought to grab him by the throat and don't let go until you get it." That's not what He's saying here. That is not what He's saying here. Now, I know, listen, God does like us to keep asking, especially when He knows that we know we're asking for something that He's already promised to us. And He kind of jerks our chain a little bit, like the lady, you know, the Syrophoenician woman, or one of these others said, "Well, you know, she came asking for some. Well, I'm not going to cast, give it to the dogs here." Yeah, but dogs even get the crumbs under the table, and he said, "There's faith." You know, the guy the ruler, the soldier who came in and said, "Listen, my daughter is sick. You need to come see him." "Well, you don't even need to come. You just say the word, and I know it'll be done." He says, "Great faith." But on the other hand, we realize who it is. We have a respect, and yet knowing that He's our Father, we know that we can come to Him. Letter D, we see the purpose of our prayer. We see the person of our prayer, position of our prayer. We're less than He is, absolutely. The purpose is practical needs. Give us this day our daily bread. Give us our needs as we go along day by day. And if you combine those first two, "Hallowed be thy name" and "Thy kingdom come," and "Give us this day our daily bread," I mentioned what you come up with is Matthew 6:33. "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." So really, you're praying and saying, "I need your will. I want your will in all of this." Okay, give me what you think I need for dinner. And notice he was asking for dinner, his practical needs, before the positional need, verse 4, Roman numeral 2, positional need to be right with God. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. God says, I'll take care of your needs. You're my child. Now, I may not be real happy with you right now. And right now, we may be kind of butting heads here. But I'm not going to throw you out to starve. There's a lot of people who have this idea that God's this big meanie. And you do one little thing, he's ready to squash you like a bug. Now, he has every right to squash us like a bug. But daddy doesn't usually squash his kids. Unless his kids run away. The prodigal son got squashed in the muck and the mire of the pigsty. But the father didn't put him there. But he did allow him to sit there and soak in it for a while. He let him make his own decision. And God does that sometimes. So we have a positional need as well. So we have the practical needs, positional needs, and then the protection. He says, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Don't allow me to be put in a position that would or could be easily given to sin. I don't want to be someplace. On the other hand, we have to decide that we're not going to go there. He says, deliver us. Draw us out. Rescue us. The idea of that deliverance says, flush me away from that stuff. If I'm getting close and I didn't even know it, Lord, get it away from me. This other sounds funny, but it's not quite the same thing, but the same idea. When we get ready to go on vacation, we'll pray before we leave. And I said, Lord, keep the car going and keep us away from anything we might hit and everybody else away from us. And I'll be honest with you, there's been times when I thought we should have been hit back there. We didn't. It's like somehow they just missed us. And same thing goes, listen, I don't want to be hit with some temptation that's going to take me down and smoke. And I don't want to have to play with that. I know that I'm not as strong as I always should be. And so I want him to keep that out of as much as I can. Lord, don't let me get near that stuff. I'm trying my best to stay away from it. So do me a favor and keep it away. Now, don't go say, well, I don't want to drink. Lord, help me not to drink. But I'm going to go in this bar here with my buddy. No. See, that's a different story. You're staying away from the best you can. Sometimes we're blindsided by temptation. That's what I'm talking about. Lord, don't let me be blindsided. I'm trying my best to stay away from this. Lord, please keep it away because I really don't want to get into that mess. That's what we're asking for. Number two. So we have the points of our prayer. Number two, we have a pursuit. A pursuit. P-U-R-S-U-I-T. So he's given us the point. I'm sorry my voice is so weird. I started doing that yesterday. I'm not even sure why. We know what we're supposed to pray. Now you start the idea was why? With what attitude? What's the purpose? Will he hear my prayer? Is it even make any sense to pray? And I use this word on purpose. The pursuit. There's something that God promises, and we can pursue it, and he actually likes it. Verse 5, and he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend, an associate that you are fond of, somebody you care for? You have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. He says, there's somebody you can go to. Your Lord is one of those. And you have the right to say friend. He is your Father. He's God Almighty. But you can go to him as a friend. But what he says, you're going to find out he's even more than a friend. He says he's a friend. In other words, I can go to God at any time. And if my friend will still answer me, though I come to him in the middle of the night, how much more will our Father answer our prayers at any time, who never slumbers nor sleeps? Now, the thing is, he's saying, you're going to go to a friend, and he's going to say, I don't want to do this, but he's going to do it anyway. It's the middle of the night. And the fact is, you keep asking, he's going to finally answer. Now, he really doesn't want to. It's very inconvenient. And really, to be honest with you, his pantry is probably not a whole lot fuller than yours. But he says, you keep asking, he'll finally give you what you need. That's what he's saying there. Now he's going to compare that. Now you've got a heavenly Father who never slumbers nor sleeps, who has everything you need, and is actually very pleased when you come knocking at his door. Now, if your friend who's peeved at you, who doesn't want to give you the last few loaves in his cabinet, and you got him out of the bed to do it, if he'll give you something, what do you think the Lord might do? See, there's an awful lot of folks that want, he's not going to hear me. He's too busy. He's got too much stuff going on. Don't let the world steal your promises. Letter B, God never feels inconvenienced. He never feels inconvenienced. Verse 6, for a friend of mine in his journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, give me a break. I locked the door. The wife and the kids were all in bed already. I can't come out here and give you something. See, God's never inconvenienced. God may be real quiet to see if you'll ask again. But why is he doing that? For you to see your faith? Sometimes it's not time for the answer, but that's not what he's trying to teach us here. The answer is needed right now. God wants to answer your prayer. Letter C, God is always ready and able. God is always ready and able. You remember that time at the showdown at Mount Carmel? And Elijah, the prophets of Baal had put up their sacrifice and all this stuff, and they sat there and yelled and screamed and cut themselves and all this stuff all day long. And Elijah came along, and it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them. He said, cry aloud, for he's a god. Either he's talking or he's pursuing. He's out on the battlefield someplace, or he's in a journey. Peradventure, he sleepeth and must be awake. He's making fun of their God. You're not getting an answer? Well, maybe he's asleep. Listen, God never slumbers nor sleeps. He's always ready and able to answer the prayer. Why weren't they getting any answer? Because they weren't talking to God. So we're going to see the pursuit. Go. Ask. Now, wait a minute. When we ask, we go to him knowing who he is, our Father, which art in heaven. We give him the proper esteem. Hallowed be thy name. We've already decided. Now, watch, this is important. We've already decided thy will as it is in heaven and so on earth. I want what you want. Now, I cannot say that I want what you want if that doesn't include me in my life. See, we'll say, I want God's will in that guy over there so he wouldn't be a pest to me anymore. I want God's will over there in this guy's life because, that'll help me out. Listen, I want God's will in my life. Well, I tell you what, we can get it in our mind that God's will is the best place to be. It make a whole lot of difference in your life. We start worrying. Well, you say, it seems to be gotten worse. No, it didn't. You got God's will. It may look worse. That doesn't mean it's worse. Right? Ask Gideon. He had started out with, 32,000? I bet against an army of multitude you couldn't number. And then God takes, I think he takes 22,000 away and he has 10, something like that. God says, that's too many. You're going to think you did it, Gideon. He knocks it down to 300. Well, I'm doing God's will, but it's getting worse. No, it's getting better. Because God's going to show who he is. It had to get to the point where only God could have done it. So we don't see those things anymore. That's because most of us aren't willing to do God's will and break it down to that point and let him show himself mighty. So we see the pursuit of his will, not my will. Number three, I want you to see the provision. The provision. Now remember, he went to this guy in the middle of the night, and the guy says, listen, I'm asleep, the kids are asleep, the wife's asleep. The door's shut, it's all locked. I don't really want to come downstairs here and get you some loaf of bread. It's the middle of the night. It's midnight. Verse 8, I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him, because he is his friend. In other words, watch this. Being a friend isn't enough sometimes. In other words, the guy he's asking something from isn't even doing this because it's his friend. The guy doesn't even, this guy doesn't even care enough about his friend to do it. That's the point. But he said, this guy's going to drive me bananas. I'm not going to get any sleep. All right, meet you down at the door. I'll be right down. Slam the window shut and go down there and get there. You go. There he stands with his nightgown and his hat and a pole in the end there. Take it. Get out of here. Now, he got what he needed from somebody who's not like God. Don't you think we can get what we need from some from God who is like he is? See, we it's faith. He's talking about having faith. God wants to answer your prayers. Now, you know, he knows every thought. James says if you need to ask without wavering. See, this faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. That's why we preach. I've heard this preached so many times. I don't need to hear this. Well, listen, do you ask without wavering? Well, then we haven't heard it enough. Because that's what he's saying. Don't waver. Keep going. But the fact is, he knows our thoughts. And you know what we're doing? We're praying with our mouth, oh, Lord, I need this so bad. And in our mind, we're saying, I know we're not going to see one bit iota of this stuff that I'm asking for. Lord, we need you to provide our needs. Now, I wonder what I could do. I could get another job and work on Sunday. You know what I'm saying? We say we're praying to him without wavering, but he knows our thoughts. And sometimes our thoughts are praying a whole lot louder and a whole lot more often than our mouth is. See, the heart is what needs to pray. We can say all we want we're praying the right thing, but in our heart we're wavering. And if that man says, let not that man think he'll receive anything. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. That's what old Jimmy says there. Jimmy in the Bible. That's what he says. He's not getting anything out of me. He's not praying with faith. You're right. That is good. Listen, watch this. He will not rise and give him as many as, I'm sorry, yet because of his importunity. Verse 8 there. The provision. The importunity. You know what that word means? Unwillingness to give up or give in, but being determined to have that request satisfied. Why? It's not, you're not pushing your will on God. God says, I'll give you what you need. And this guy says, I need something to give to someone else. Now, we'll see this a little bit later, whether we get to a night or not. He says, I need bread. Bread is the living life source along with water. And Jesus Christ is the bread of life. He says, I need the bread of life to give to this friend of mine who's on his journey and he's fainting because he needs to be fed. He's not going to make it the morning. I need to feed him. At the end of this passage, what does he say that he's more than happy to give us? You read it when we did it? The Holy Spirit. What's the Holy Spirit? That's the bread of life in you that you can share to give to that other person so that they can live. Amen. We want to do great things and serve God. We want to do it without the Holy Spirit. We need to go get the bread of life. So we give, we got a bread of life, not a couple crackers. The answer came because it wasn't because he was such a friend, or maybe because he wanted to be seen as a friend, but in reality, it was a putting your friend out and really didn't want to, he didn't even care for your need. If your friend gives because you keep asking, how much more will your heavenly Father give because he actually cares for you? So don't stop asking for your needs. Don't stop asking for forgiveness. Don't stop asking to be kept away from sin. Now, it doesn't say you can ask for a Cadillac and expect it. But I will say this, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Now, I don't know whether the desire is always going to be a Cadillac, because he's going to give you the right desires, and then he's going to fulfill that desire. But I think if he thinks he can trust you with it, I don't think he has any problem giving it to you. But the problem is we don't start out with, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's our problem. It's, why don't I have one like so-and-so? We're the prodigal son who stayed home. Why are you throwing him a party? Why'd you put the robe on him? Why'd you give him a ring? Listen, you never killed a fatted calf for me and my friends to have a party. Listen, God is our friend. But he's also our Father. And his resources are unending. They're bottomless. And if our friend will give us, well, what do you think he's going to do? Number four. So we saw the pursuit. Let's see here. We saw the provision. We saw the promise. That's number four, the promise. He's going to explain it here. Here's the promise. Jesus says, I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. What? Well, don't I need to do this or this? Ask. Well, wait a minute. We're asking, thy will be done. Thy kingdom come. We're asking, give us this day our daily bread. We're asking, lead him, please don't let me get close to that thing that tempts me. Lord, forgive me. I mean, I've already forgiven my friends. I know, but Lord, what I need is your forgiveness. I mean, I forgive my friend, you know, what difference is that going to make in their life? But Lord, I need your forgiveness. I need your forgiveness more than they need my forgiveness. Because forgiveness with him means I've gotten rid of the sin that separates me from my God. Well, that's the one I pray to. Well, that's the one who provides my needs. That's the one who gives me my daily bread. That's the one who keeps me from temptation. That's the one that's more important to me. We would say, well, listen, I'm not really all that bad, God. I mean, it wasn't too bad, but I tell you, that guy over there, you know what he did to me? You see the difference here? In fact, this guy over there, he might not even know he needs my forgiveness. He's going on living his life, having a good old time. He didn't know he insulted me. He didn't know he cut me off down there at the corner. He doesn't even know, maybe. Maybe he does, but maybe he doesn't. But I ought to go ahead and forgive him. But I ought to have a forgiving heart so that I can be forgiven. If I don't have a forgiven heart, then I'm still holding that iniquity in my heart, and I'm not forgiven. He says, I say to you, ask. And by the way, these words means ask and keep on asking. The tense of these things is asking, 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 asking. He says, say unto you, ask and keep on asking, and it shall be given you. Seek and keep on seeking, and you shall find. Knock and keep on knocking, it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. But wait a minute, everyone that asketh and asketh and asketh and asketh and asketh and asketh keeps on asking. Do we have to bombard him with that? The point is this. It's not that we're not talking about vain repetition. What we're saying is our constant reliance is on him. Praying without ceasing will ruin your pants if you have to be on your knees all day long. So that's not what he's saying. My constant reliance is on him. Now, by the way, it won't hurt us to dirty our knees of our pants. It won't hurt us at all. Hallowed be thy name. Yeah. But I'm constantly relying on him. Not on me, not on somebody else. I'm not praying for the government to take care of my needs. Now, I'm not saying the government might not be used to do it. But if a government falls, the promise of having your need. Listen, if the government fails, Social Security goes haywire, that has nothing to do with God providing our needs. Now, he may use those things at the time, but that doesn't mean that's all we have. We're not going to fall apart. Now, if your reliance has been in the government and the government goes sour, then maybe you are up a creek because you haven't been seeking and knocking and asking for him to provide your needs. Your reliance is there, not on here, on this old big ball of dirt. He goes on, verse 11, if a son shall ask bread of any of you, that is a father. And by the way, you are sons of God. You are children of God. If your son shall ask bread of you, that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he shall ask a fish, will he give for a fish, give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? Of course he won't. Letter B. It is no problem for God to care for our need. Let me say it again. Number one, God is not too sleepy to hurt the help. God is not too sleepy. Number two, God is not limited in his resources to help. God's not too busy with other things. God doesn't have to choose between you and others. Well, I can only help one at a time here, so you're going to have to wait, and I'll be back to you. Maybe I will. I don't know. We'll see what He doesn't have to do that. God is not going to be held back from helping us because of extenuating circumstances. Unless those extenuating circumstances, if you refuse, forgive others as God's forgiven you. You don't like the idea of his will be done. And that little sin that you harbor in your heart, you don't want to deal with it. Well, then maybe you won't see his answer. But all he's doing is telling you to do right. He's not asking you to do anything hard. Listen, he's not asking you to climb Mount Everest. Remember the guy that was supposed to go wash in the Jordan River? He said, well, there's plenty of nice rivers in Syria here. Why can't I? He says, listen, if he told you to do something hard, wouldn't you have done it? Well, then just do it. Well, I don't know. How am I supposed to get clean from my leprosy by getting dirty in the Jordan River? Just do what he said. Just do what he said. Number five. Now we've seen the person, we've seen the pursuit, we've seen the provision, we've seen the promise. Watch this, number five. I want you to see the pleasure. Pleasure. P-L-E-A-S-U-R-E. Pleasure. Now watch this, verse 13. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? It pleases God to provide for you. It pleases God for you to ask, which means you trust him even though you can't see him. I mean, it's right back to old Thomas. Blessed him that hath not seen and yet believe. Thomas said, unless I see the print in your hand and thrust my hand in the side where the spear went in, which is kind of a gross thing to even ask for, unless I do that, I won't believe. He said, okay, you believe because you've seen. But boy, blessed is the one who hath not seen and yet believe. They get the real blessing. We don't see Jesus every day. We don't see the nail prints. I can pretty well count on the fact no one's in here has ever seen the nail prints in Jesus' hand, or where the spear was thrust in his side. But we can believe him. That's what he's asking. It's his pleasure. We went down to Chick-fil-A last night for dinner. Whenever they do something and you say thanks, what do they say? It's my pleasure. Now, they're getting paid to say that. And some of the nice folks that are down there are nice, I'm sure, and they're nice folks, and, you know. But God, it pleases God. I know we've used this verse so many times over the last year or two, but 2 Peter 1, where it says that God has given all things that pertain unto life and godliness. When we get the Holy Spirit, we get everything that pertains unto life and godliness. Number one there, underneath there, letter A, the Holy Spirit. He says, if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? What's the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is the miracle-working extension of God's power on earth. Everything we get really comes through the Holy Spirit at this point. Regeneration, sanctification, understanding the Word of God, the endowment of power to give somebody else the gospel and they'll actually understand it and it strikes their heart. Everything we really need in life is coming from the Holy Spirit. All things for life, that's the mundane things of life. And godliness, our spiritual life. Matthew 7:7, watch this. This is the same basic passage, but look at it. It says, ask and it shall be given you, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you whom if his son ask bread will give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish will he give him a serpent? If ye then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, watch it, give good gifts to them that ask him? They interchange good gifts with the Holy Spirit. He says, all the good things that you need, all the things that give benefit, are going to come through the power of the Holy Spirit who's working in us and through us in this realm. If people who don't really care about your well-being will answer your request in the middle of the night just because you refuse to take no for an answer, how much more will our Heavenly Father in heaven, which really does care about us and desire to answer us, what do you think he's going to do? But see, we stop. Well, I asked. I didn't see anything. I guess he doesn't care. You know what? Sometimes I think we just kind of throw a prayer in the air and figure he's going to catch it up there. That's like a 10-year-old boy coming home from school and it's dinner time and he says, Mom, we're going to have dinner. And she was nowhere to be heard, to hear it, you know. And he goes on and goes off and does something. She says, well, I made dinner. Where were you? I figured I called and you didn't say anything, so I figured you weren't making any. Can you imagine what a mother would feel like? My son went hungry because they thought I wasn't going to make anything. Well, I called and you didn't answer and I didn't see anything, so I guess you weren't going to do anything for me. That's almost a slap in a mother's face. We do that to God. I threw a prayer out there and you didn't do anything, so I guess you don't care. No sense of saying anything anymore. Oh, I'll throw it out there once or twice, but if nothing happens, I figured he's not going to do anything. This whole thing is for us to have the faith to know that we have a Heavenly Father who loves us and is more than willing to take care of our needs, to do what we need to have done, and to go and to seek and ask. Letter C, it pleases the Father to answer prayer. It pleases the Father. Now, that again, that's not back there saying, a five-year-old saying, Daddy, can I have the keys to the car? No. Daddy, I want the keys to the car. No. Well, I'm just going to keep asking. Daddy, can I? No, you can't have the keys to the car. Same boy goes to mom and says, Mom, are we going to have dinner tonight? Yeah, we are. Well, when? Well, we'll have it. We'll take care of it. When we're going to have it. It will be here. Just trust me. It'll come. Hebrews 11:6, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them who diligently seek him. Proverbs 15:8. Watch. The sacrifice or the worship of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord. It makes him sick. Disgust me. You do what you want all week, and you come in here and say, oh, I love you, Lord. No, you don't. That would be as bad as if it, and I hate to even use this because you might have experienced this, but having a spouse that you found out was cheating on you comes home and just makes all over and says how much they love you, and you know they've been cheating on you. It makes you want to throw up. You know what I'm saying? And we go out and live like the world, and then we come in and praise the Lord. You don't love me. I know where you were last night. I know what you were doing yesterday afternoon. But watch this. But the prayer, the asking, not giving to the Lord, but taking from the Lord. The prayer of the upright is his delight. What can I do for you? Well, first of all, I want to make sure this is what you want. But what I was thinking was, what if we, or how about if, or be honest with you, my kids are hungry, and we're going to need, I don't know where the next meal's coming from, but Lord, we're going to need something. So I thank you, Lord, for taking care of us. So we thank you. We don't have the food in your hand yet. That's when you say, be careful for nothing but all things by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known, and the peace of God that passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. I don't know how you're going to do this, Lord, but I'm excited to see. Because you promised to take care of us. 2 Chronicles 16:9. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. Herein thou hast done foolishness, and therefore thou from henceforth thou shalt have wars. That's the connotation. He says, you weren't, your heart wasn't perfect. I was looking, I was watching, and I wanted to bless you, but you weren't, your heart wasn't perfect. And so you're on your own. You're going to have wars. But look at that. Compare that to James 4:1, right below it. From whence comes wars and fightings among you? Well, you were asking now, watch it. Come they not hence even of your lust that war in your members? You lust, you have not. You kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet ye have not because ye ask not. But ye ask and receive not because ye ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lust. You're not looking for thy will be done. You want your will be done. You adulterers and adulterers, know you not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. And yet we go out and live like the world, and we go to his door and say, friend, would you give me 3 loaves so I have something? He says, no. Number 6. This is interesting here, and we're almost done. We come to God humbly and boldly at the same time. We come humbly and boldly at the same time. 1 Peter 5:5, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto others. That's humility. Ye all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. So you go to him humbly, and yet you know he's going to exalt you in due time, at the right time. Hebrews 4:14 says this, seeing then we have a great high priest that's passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So we're supposed to be humble before him and bold at the same time. What's that saying? Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Can I have dinner? Give us this day our daily bread. And boy, keep those sins away from me. Keep those temptations. I don't want to get anywhere close to those things. So humbly and boldly, it's saying, I know he's my daddy. And I need to respect my daddy. But he's my daddy. And within the context of respect, he'll take care of every need I have. Every need. We have no right as a sinful human to come before a holy and righteous God and ask anything. We have complete right to come boldly before a great and terrible God as a child of God because he's our Father. Knowing the terror of God, we persuade men to become children of God, who says, and says unto me, all you that labor and burden and labor, come to me and I will give you rest. We keep asking because we know we're fully persuaded. We have faith that God can answer. We keep asking because we know we're fully persuaded. We have faith that God will answer a prayer within his will. And we keep asking because we know that only God has the answer. We're fully persuaded and have faith. We keep asking because we know God loves us as a father, and it's his pleasure to answer us. God wants us to prayerfully pursue him. He loves it. He loves it. Father, again, we thank you for being patient with us and your love for us. And I think you want to hear our prayers, that it's your delight. Lord, help us to rise up in faith and ask and ask and ask and seek and seek and seek and knock and knock and knock, because we know you want to answer. Lord, I pray that you'll be with us here. I pray you'll be with each one in their need. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. I didn't give you a song there. Did you? What do you have there? 456. That sounds good. Is that the last one on there? Let's stand up together. 450, yeah.